Daryl was born in the 50s.
Born in the 50s. The earlier 50s, though. Mid 50s? Oh,
I don't know. Already, Esther?
4 years old.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We're here on the 12th floor of the State Capitol. It is Wednesday, February 11th, for the regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'll call that meeting to order. How about that?
Very good.
I've got the whammer down. Okay, first item of business. One member of this, sitting up at this table, had a birthday on Sunday. We didn't forget, Brian.
Well, thank you.
So Randy and I wanted to wish you a happy birthday and invite the staff to join in the celebration and any of our guests as well. And so there's donuts and coffee over there, and please help yourself. This is in celebration of Brian's. What anniversary of your 29th birthday?
It's the 28th anniversary of my 21st birthday.
Excellent. All right, so happy birthday. Hope you had a good time. And I do encourage, I'm a believer in cutting donuts in half, so feel free to cut them in half if that's how you like to eat them, because it gives you a taste, but doesn't give you all the quite as much sugar. So that's the mother in me. Okay, moving on to other opening comments. There's a whole lot going on. You'll see in our calendar coming up. We'll go through that at the end, but I just wanted to comment a couple things. First of all, we're continuing to work on the Public Service Commission's budget. We've had a number of meetings with the subcommittee in the Senate Appropriations, who's dealing with our budget, and we continue to press them on the improvements that we've got in our budget, the enhancements for existing programs, as well as the importance of some of the new programs, which are, of course, being scrutinized, like all programs in new spending are in this revenue picture that's a little bit unknown moving forward. But we've emphasized the importance of some of the new things like the rail safety program and the hazardous materials pipeline safety program that we feel are important programs for the state to provide oversight on. And we'll continue to carry that message forward through the Senate and then in a couple weeks over in the House. On another item, we are going to be heading out to NARUC, all three of us, at some point over the next course of the next week. I'll be leaving on Sunday and returning on Tuesday, and during that time I'll be out there. I'll be helping to lead and moderate a panel discussion on 111D compliance and the ability of the gas market to meet the demands for new gas-fired power generation. So it's going to be an interesting discussion to look at some of the new pipeline resources being developed, not just in our area, but all over the country, and get a feel from the industry whether or not they are ready to meet the new demands of gas fired power in lieu of a lot of the retirements of the coal fired power that's going to be required if 111D moves forward as is. So I know my colleagues have some interesting work they'll be doing out there, and I'll leave that to them to discuss, and I think that concludes my opening comments. Commissioner Christman.
You mentioned going to NARUC and being back on Tuesday. I'm going to NARUC a little on the late side. I'm not leaving till Monday night, so there'll be one of us here on Monday, and there'll just be a matter of a few hours that none of us are around in case anything comes up, especially with the legislature. But I am staying then an extra day and attending a meeting with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission regarding the EPA's 111D proposal. Of course, very important to North Dakota and to our energy industry and to all of our consumers. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, I think it'll be an interesting and valuable meeting with FERC, but especially in light of the fact that I would point out that our predecessor here on the commission, or Brian's colleague on the commission, Tony Clark, is one of those FERC commissioners. So looking forward to that.
Okay. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My thoughts on NARUC is the same as both of you going out there, and this is my first chance I'm actually going to chair the Clean Coal Subcommittee, so our meetings are on Sunday. And what's interesting is we actually had Ben Yamagata. He's one of the national coal utilization fellows out of D.C. was out here last week, and we gave him the full tour of the state. He met with BNI and North American and Elite about some of the new technologies around clean coal. There's a package in through the Industrial Commission to provide some funding to, I'm not exactly how it's going to get to BNI and Elite, but it goes to them about building their next generation of coal plant. And so we're working some of the things at the federal level to get some new coal built in North Dakota that captures the CO2 as this 111D stuff shapes itself out. So that's fascinating. And just thank you for the birthday celebrations. And just for the record, I celebrated at the Bison Turf where I was, in fact, when I actually did turn 21. So that's why it was the 20th anniversary of. So thank you.
So you knew that number so readily.
Perhaps, Madam Chairman, it just occurs to me that we could probably have half a donut for the commissioner's birthday and half to celebrate his elevation to chairman of the Clean Coal Committee.
I think that would be entirely appropriate. I would endorse this.
Sounds good.
As a mother. All right. Well, with those niceties complete, we can move on to our agenda. There's a number of items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
If I could, just quickly, there's a bunch of items I have on consent. I just want to highlight a couple. There's one, BK2, that's moving some minor locations for the 345 KV transmission line. Three requests, moving anywhere from 20 to 100 feet, so very appropriate. And then the one that I did want to just point out is that we're suspending the rates for MDU's natural gas service rate increase. And so that's the first process. We suspend the rates, and the next meeting will more than likely, staff will have a motion about interim rates. But I just wanted to share my thoughts quickly about this rate request. It's a little bit different than what I've seen before. This one, they're asking for about $4.3 million to be broken up in the residential class and the small interruptible, focusing on those two. And so the interim rates, we'll see how it plays out, but the interim rates will be spread across all five customer classes. And so it sets up that there'll probably be a refund to those customer classes that aren't involved in the rate increase request. But I would just also throw out to the company early that I understand you're asking for a rate increase on two different classes, but I think that sometimes, I know in one of our previous cases, all five classes, in my opinion, need to be included in some of this discussion. So I'm just kind of teeing that one up. So that'd be my thoughts, Madam Chair.
All right.
Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the regular agenda. I have just one item on the regular agenda. I move the commission deem complete the applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit, and further move the commission issue a notice of filings and notice of opportunity for hearing in Highland Crude LLC, Door Crude Oil Loop Pipeline, McKenzie County Siting Application, case number PU-14-840.
Second.
On December 17th, Highland Crude filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for this 13-mile, 12-inch diameter oil pipeline and facilities in McKenzie County, North Dakota. Highland proposes to construct the pipeline entirely within the corridor previously approved for Highland's Market Center pipeline in case number PU-13-136. That was the case that we provided the order in October. We provided a revised order in November. We had formal hearings in the community last fall, I think September time frame, on that whole pipeline, and that was six different segments that were all running together. This project now is a loop on one of those segments on leading to and from the Door Loop. It will have the capacity for 100,000 barrels per day, and the construction will be entirely within the corridor that we've already approved. So this is a notice for opportunity for hearing. The footprint law allows companies to construct within the corridor without coming back and having a new permit. And, however, our certification document that they signed in the last order requires them to apply for a permit. So they are doing that. They have to certify in order to use the footprint law. They have to certify that they don't affect any exclusion or avoidance areas. And we're in the process of going through that right now. There are six rural residences within 500 feet of this new line, and they are have told us that they plan to get us those waivers. And I wanted to, start the process by having this opportunity for hearing because it is within the rights of the company to ask for that, and it's well within our rights to provide a permit, allow them to move forward without doing a full hearing. If they are able to provide, in my opinion, if they're able to confirm that, you know, with the waivers from the landowners and a number, a couple other smaller items that the staff is working out with them, I'm comfortable providing this without a full-blown hearing, considering the fact that we had the hearing out there last fall, and it is within the rights of the footprint lot to do that. And so I think that nothing in this application really jumps out as demanding a hearing separately, unless, of course, somebody requests it, in which case we will have a hearing. So those are my thoughts on this. I'd be interested in knowing your thoughts as well, both Randy and Brian, if you have any.
I do, Madam Chair. I agree with the way you set it up. It makes sense. To me, the big thing is, as long as we get the information, and you know, whether we have a formal hearing or informal discussion, the commission can usually get the information we're looking for. It's just times I like to have formal hearings to get things on the record, but I think in this case we've got a lot out there, and I think this certainly seems appropriate.
Okay.
I would agree, Madam Chair, that this gives some, if there is something that we're missing, an opportunity for someone to ask for a hearing. So.
Absolutely.
I think we're on a good track here.
And I think that's very important. If there's any concerns out there for somebody in this line, we can certainly have a hearing, and otherwise we'll work with the company, and if we get that information, we can proceed without one. So, all right.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Christman.
Move the commission approve bond release number 7 to surface coal mining permit number KRGC-8101 held by Knife River Corporation to the Gascoyne Mine for the Gascoyne Mine to release all remaining reclamation liabilities on 640.9 acres located in portions of sections 29 and 33 in Township 131 North, Range 99 West, Bowman County. The amount of the bond release is $374,117.17, and it will become effective March 13, 2015, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
This application requests final bond release, as I said, on 640.9 acres of land at the Gascoyne Mine. The bond release areas contain approximately 519.4 acres of reclaimed crop and hayland, 13.2 acres of developed water resources, and 0.8 of an acre of reclaimed township road, and I'll get back to that township road part in a moment. The bond release also includes 107.5 acres of land that was not disturbed by mining activities. This application contains two tracts of land, and they're located in portions of sections 29 and 33, as I said. There was a third tract of land, a smaller tract, just 9.5 acres, located in section 26. It was deleted from the original bond release application after the reclamation division staff raised concerns regarding compaction and vegetation sampling on that tract. Disturbed areas in the bond release tracts were affected by mining as early as 1950, and that's even before Darryl was born, by the way, and under various reclamation law periods. Well, you mentioned it earlier. You know.
That's not fair. That's below the belt.
From then on, under various reclamation law periods, including post-1975 reclamation laws, where post-mining production standards must be met. But the 10-year vegetation liability period applies to the entire area since it was permitted or re-permitted under the current reclamation law. The newspaper notice for this application was published in the Bowman Pioneer, which is the official county newspaper there. Was published once a week for 4 weeks, from August 16 of 2013 to September 6 of that year. No objections or written comments were received on the bond release application. The formal final bond release inspection was conducted August 21st of 2013. The surface owners, the Bowman County commissioners, and several state and federal agencies were invited to participate in the inspection. Representatives from the Reclamation Division and Knife River Corporation were present for the inspection. Surface owners participating were Steve and Tabitha Reimer and Alan Anderson, and Mr. Anderson is the owner of that tract in Section 26 that was eventually deleted from the bond release request. Bowman County Commissioner and Fishbine Township Board Chairman Kenneth Steiner also attended the inspection. The Reclamation Division also inspected the bond release tracts with John Sieving from OSM's Casper Field Office on November 5th of 2013, along with representatives of Knife River Corporation. With regard to that 8/10 of an acre of reclaimed township road, Mr. Steiner, representing both the county and the township, expressed some concerns during the field inspection regarding the site distance of a segment of the reclaimed township road. And even though design plans were previously approved by the township, Knife River proposed a plan to modify the road to improve the site distance and minimize redisturbance of the area. The Reclamation Division determined that the proposed modification would not affect the 10-year liability period or the pending bond release, so long as the township board was agreeable to the proposed plan and the activity was limited to the road right-of-way. So it was also agreed that the proposed modifications could take place after approval of the pending bond release. So to date, the modifications have not been made, but an agreement was entered into between Knife River and the Fishbine Township to complete the work in the future. Approval of this bond release will allow a monetary release of $374,117, as I mentioned earlier. An adequate amount of bond will remain to cover any liabilities for the remaining acreage at the Gascoigne mine. And if approved today, this will become effective March 13th. The Reclamation Division recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just throw in, I'm always pleased to see the bond release come to an end and these lands being released back into private sector hands and being able to prove that the reclamation has worked and the productivity has returned to these portions of land. I think that it's a celebration of sorts. And we hear some frustration among landowners and folks in the state that this doesn't happen soon enough. And so I think we need to stop and take note when it does happen and recognize that this is successfully occurring, that we're able to mine the lands and return them back and prove that the productivity is as good or better as it was prior to the mining. So I want to applaud the Reclamation Division for their good work keeping at this. And I also want to encourage the company to complete the remaining acres on this mine and get the reclamation completed there and so we can have bond release on the remaining lands.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, maybe to add to that, I guess it just reminds me, you make good points, and I think also the fact that the just under 10 acres in Section 26 that was excluded from this, you know, shows that our team is watching this closely too, and if something isn't quite up to snuff or, you know, hasn't proven itself, it's not going to be released until it's absolutely ready. And you'll be pleased to know that there'll probably be a couple hundred more acres coming in the not-too-distant future on this mine.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission closeout contract number AM-697-14 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated for completion of drilling and grouting work on the 2014 Scranton Bowman Phase 2 AML project.
Second.
The commission entered into this contract with BNC Concrete Pumping for drilling and grouting work associated with the 2014 Scranton Bowman project, which is in Bowman and Adams counties. The original contract was in the amount of $751,175. Staff estimated this project would require 9,500 feet of vertical drilling, 2,000 feet of casings, and pumping 3,000 cubic yards of grout into the abandoned underground workings. The final totals were higher, almost 11,000 feet of vertical drilling, over 1,500 feet of casing, and over 3,000 cubic yards of grout. So all the work under this contract was completed for a total cost of $753,097.35, which is $1,922.35 more than the original contract amount. I'll point out the next one came in under, so these more than balance out. The contract was left open after that work was completed for the possibility of carrying out some additional drilling for the next phase of this project, but that did not happen. Joan Briner supervised this project. The work was completed to her satisfaction. The contractor certified that all employees, subcontractors, and suppliers used for this project have been paid. So all the work under this contract has now been satisfactorily completed, and the AML division recommends the contract be closed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission close out contract number AM-695-14 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated for completion of drilling and grouting work on the 2014 Beulah Zap Phase 15 AML project.
Second.
Commission entered into this contract with BNC Concrete Pumping for drilling and grouting work associated with the 2014 Beulah Zap project. North of Beulah, the original contract was in the amount of $829,625. Staff estimated this project would require 10,000 feet of vertical drilling, some specialized angled drilling of 2,500 feet and 7,500 feet of casing, and pumping 5,000 cubic yards of grout into the abandoned underground workings. The final totals were a little over 7,000 feet of vertical drilling, almost 1,400 feet of angled drilling, over 1,700 feet of casing, and 5,252 cubic yards of grout. All the work under this contract was completed for a total cost of a little over $783,000, or $46,218.40 less than the original contract amount. Joan Briner again supervised this project as well, and the work was completed to her satisfaction. The contractor also certified that all employees, subcontractors, and suppliers used for this project have been paid. So all the work under this contract has also now been satisfactorily completed, and the AML division recommends the contract be closed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Go ahead, ma'am.
I have one question. I'm going to test your technical knowledge of underground mine restoration. The I could have asked this to Jim, but I'll ask you, Randy. I noticed on this one, it was just curious. There's staff estimated 7,500 feet of casing would be needed, and there was only 1,700 feet of casing needed. So I was curious what was different about this than they anticipated that demanded 5,000 less feet of casing. Any ideas?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that Joan Briner keeps a close eye on these things, and if she agreed with the contractor that this was the proper way to handle these underground workings, I just had full faith in it. I don't know if Jim has any further explanation or not, but
real quick one. There were fewer voids, mine voids encountered than what we expected, so the frequency of hitting voids the case holes.
Oh, interesting. Thanks, Jim.
Good question, though.
I was just going to say it was a smaller hole, so it had. You ever notice when geese fly in a line that one side always has is longer than the other side? You know what that is? There's more geese in that side. Well, it's true.
That's why you're a major.
That's right. I'm not a colonel, right?
You count gooder.
I digress. I just want to thank Jim and his crowd again for this. And I was thinking, I wonder if it wouldn't be a safety risk if we could ever get some footage of this stuff, of what they're doing, because you get the mental picture of it. But as we get into more budget discussion downstairs or some at the federal level, making sure they understand how important these programs are, I don't know if we ever have anything like that. So something we can maybe talk about, Jim, or maybe you know, but I think it'd be great to have a 2-minute clip of what those guys and gals do out there. So anyway, good work.
There are some great presentations available showing where cave-ins have occurred.
Absolutely.
And of course, one of my favorites is my neighbor, where he came out in his farm shop and slid open the doors and the tractor was gone. It was down in a, in a mine hole. It's just amazing how many voids there are under our earth.
But then we can show how much they are, what it takes to fill them, because there's always that budget out there that we request this money, and it's been changing every year. We may have to make that case at the federal level someday about why we can need that continued funding, and it would be good to have some of the show what we've done over the years, other than just a, you know, the verbal of it.
Written. Okay, moving on to RC4. I move.
Wait,
the commission.
We need a vote on this. Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks for keeping us on track, Daryl.
Now,
okay,
Randy, RC4, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-70, canceling warehouse license number 1195 issued to Farmers Union Oil Company of Valva at Martin, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Martin be discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
The licensing division received a request to discontinue business from Farmers Union Oil Company of Valva for this grain warehouse at Martin. All grain was removed from the warehouse, and there are no outstanding storage obligations. The Martin warehouse was sold to Scott Foss, and Mr. Foss said he will be transferring the warehouse to Lone Prairie Grain in the near future, and Lone Prairie Grain will then file a license application for this warehouse. I would just point out for those who are unfamiliar with Martin that it's in Sheridan County on Highway 52 between Animus, the hometown of Commissioner Culk's bride, and Harvey, and it's also a little trivia on it. It's 26 miles west of Heimdall, the hometown of my mother-in-law.
Nice. And why is it named Martin?
I don't know that one.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Some of these comments are not meant to lead to questions.
Then one must be careful what we comment about.
I'm not going to get shy yet because you just wait here. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-24 granting the request of Quality Seed Genetics, LLC of Alice, North Dakota, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Quality Seed Genetics filed a license application to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota. QSG estimates it will purchase 90,000 bushels of grain in the state during the first year in operation and filed a corresponding $50,000 surety bond. QSG solicits growers to plant and harvest production seed, and the seed is conditioned, packaged, and distributed to dealers. So to date, all the seed purchased has met established quality standards and sold as seed. But QSG is applying for a roving grain buyer's license in the event the seed doesn't meet minimum quality standards and OSG needs to find an alternative market for the seed. QSG provided written confirmation they have not conducted business as a roving grain buyer in the state. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that a roving grain buyer license be issued. I would point out for, again, those that aren't familiar, Alice is in Cass County, kind of about halfway between Valley City and Castleton, and then about 8 or 10 miles south of I-94. And it was this community was actually mentioned in a John Steinbeck book called Travels with Charlie.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I have to pile on. The as you're going from Bismarck to Fargo, you'll notice the exit says Buffalo and Alice, and that's Buffalo Bill's sister is what I told my daughter. So.
And she bought it?
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission under North Dakota Century Code Section 60-02-09.1 adopt the order suspending warehouse license number 1164 of Grand Forks Bean Company Incorporated at its Grand Forks, North Dakota warehouse effective February 5, 2015 for lack of adequate bond and issue a notice of opportunity to be heard in case number GE-14-595.
Second.
The grain warehouse bond for Grand Forks Bean is scheduled to expire on March 6th of this year. North Dakota Century Code Section 60-02-09.1 provides that unless the warehouseman files a new bond at least 30 days before liability ceases, the commission, without hearing, shall immediately suspend the warehouseman's license, and the suspension may not be removed until a new bond has been filed and approved by the commission. As of February 5th, the replacement bond was not filed with the commission, and the license of Grand Forks Bean Company was suspended effective February 5th of this year. I also want to point out that the surety bond company can elect to cancel a bond at any time. However, it is required to provide 90 days notice of the cancellation. And in this case, they did provide that notice of cancellation on December 2nd with an effective date of March 7th. The law provides, though, that the surety is not relieved from any liability already accrued. So you can find comfort in that.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just wanted to clarify, this company has a cease and desist order already, so they are not or should not be operating, correct?
Mostly correct with the possible exception under the stipulation agreement, the bean inventory is being liquidated.
Sure, but they're not taking in new beans.
Correct.
And any new customers or that sort of thing.
That is correct. It's only the liquidation of the inventory.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
All right. Then we move over to Commissioner Culk, who has one item, I believe.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a little explanation. Item BK1, yesterday visiting with staff as well as, I guess, clearing out some more thought process myself, I just asked that be withdrawn. I didn't want to have it held over because I don't want to come back for a while until they get a chance to sort through it. But just to explain to my colleagues, I guess, why I asked it to be withdrawn. We had it set up as a notice opportunity for hearing on the ADP as well as a PCNN for MDU who's considering purchasing the Thunder Spirit Wind Project. And I thought given the challenges that the commission worked with through the siting process, which is a different jurisdiction, I felt we might as well just go right to a hearing on this. I think there's going to be a lot of questions. I know for myself that the need picture of what is needed by Montana, Dakota, I think has perhaps changed since they initially started this discussion. And even if it hasn't changed, I want to make sure we flush that out because this is an advanced termination of prudence that we will see again in a rate case. Whether we approve it or disapprove it, the company can still do it. But the ADP, of course, gives the company more certainty. And one of the things that I always want to ask in ADP hearings is, have the company prove that ADP benefits the consumer? So those are the two big issues that I wanted to flush out, and I think a hearing would be more appropriate, the need, as well as how it benefits the consumer. So that's why I asked that it's withdrawn. I know that Jerry is working through advisory staff, advocacy staff, and the company trying to get some hearing dates set up, probably in, I think now we're talking in the May time frame. So a little background on that. Okay, item BK2. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company's application for its renewable resource cost recovery adjustment factor, case number PU1514.
Second.
In December of last year, Otter Tail filed a request for approval of its 2015 renewable resource cost recovery adjustment factor for recovering costs associated with the electric generation wind farms. And the three wind farms are Langdon, Ashtabula, and Laverne. The commissions, we see these every year. And I think in this case, the renewable rider has really worked out well because every year it allows us to true up actual costs. This time around, the company has an idea to change from a per unit cost to a percent of bill method. And if this is approved, it would actually lower the cost 88 cents for a customer using 1,000 kilowatts. So if someone requests a formal hearing, we'll certainly have that. They have until March 20th to do so. If not, an informal seems appropriate. And I'll just be curious of how the why this change took forward. It results in a lower cost, which I like that, but a lower cost to customers. I just want to make sure it's not just a movement of the numbers around somewhere in different areas. But I think it's certainly good. These wind farms have come in very, very good numbers the last few years. So look forward to the if a hearing needed or the informal.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. That concludes our regular agenda, but I do want to just jump back to my one item because I failed to mention that citizens who would like to request a hearing have until March 20th to do so. And so that's the time period on that notice of opportunity for a hearing. All right, so that concludes our regular commission agenda. We'll take a short break for a donut and to sign measures and maybe return for the admin portion of our agenda at 10-2. Oh, yeah. Dave, sorry.
not a problem. Just a quick, why does MDU want a advanced determination of prudence on this Thunder Wind Spirit project?
Dave, in my opinion, when companies helped get the legislation put into place on advanced determination of prudence, it was to get the commission's thoughts early on before they enter into projects. And so I think what the company's looking for is to get the three of ours opinions on what we think of it. If the commission issues an ADP, that means they're guaranteed rate recovery when a rate case comes in. It doesn't guarantee the amount, but it guarantees they're going to get something out of it. So I suspect that's why companies want that. And so it's my case, I think it's I want to talk to them some more about this, about why they feel they still need it with the changes in what's going on in Western North Dakota, how the costs come in. They're going to own this. It's different than a power purchase agreement where when we've had power purchase agreements, you've got a set number that's locked in for X amount of years. It's easier, in my opinion, to figure out if that's a good deal or a bad deal. In this one, they're going to own it, so they'll decommission it and all the things that come with that. I just felt it was appropriate that all three of us get a chance to ask the questions directly and have some more structure around it. Because quite honestly, there's been a lot of discussion in this commission about the Thunder Spirit wind farm.
And the wind farm itself, is it under construction now, or what's the status of that?
We've approved the siting of it, and I'll look over at Jerry. I don't believe they started construction yet, have they?
Just to look at the roads.
You know, they did start construction for roads because then they're eligible for the production tax credit. So, yes, that is – thanks, Jerry.
And just offhand, you mentioned – On the MDU filing for the natural gas, what are the five classes?
I knew you'd ask that, Dave.
Okay.
It is the residential, and then the small interruptible are the ones that are involved in a rate case. Then you've got the firm general, the large interruptible, and then Air Force deliveries. So you basically have, you know, the Air Force has their own contract carved out, large and small interruptible, firm and residential. So I just think it's curious that these two are involved, and I know there's been a lot of discussion in the last rate cases. MDUs has requested to raise the fixed amount every month, and that's also included in this rate request. So I suspect a lot of discussion, but I guess my thought will be, you know, why just these two? I need to see those numbers fleshed out. And in the past, the commission has maybe used different mechanisms available to keep the cost of residential rates down. In this particular rate case, they're asking to increase the residential rates quite a bit. So we'll just see how it plays out.
On the Highland Pipeline, do you have a cost on that?
Yes, it's about $13
million. $13
million? Yep. Okay.
And so I understand it. There's already a corridor, and they can build it in the corridor.
Correct.
But the issue is if people want to raise some objections or have some questions, then they can ask for a hearing.
Absolutely, yep. And they have to get the waivers from the rural residences, too, before they can construct in the corridor. They're within 500 feet of these rural residences in their new this new segment. And so they have to get those waivers and show those to us as well.
They have any kind of idea when they want to start construction?
They would like to start this spring.
This spring.
Yep. And they already are – the other line is already operating. So this loops that line and would be incorporated into the operations of that overall system, which leads to four or five different rail terminals and export pipelines. So it's, you know, part of their plan to maximize the efficiency of that line to have this loop included.
And I was just curious, do you know offhand when Gascoyne stopped mining operations?
I don't.
I was just curious.
I think it was around 95.
About 1995. How much is left to be reclaimed or to be released from bond?
There's about 900 acres left, and be a little over 200 that I think is pretty close.
So it's going to take a little bit of time yet, but not a long period of time necessarily, I suppose.
Correct. We hope that they move it along quickly. There's a lot of money of theirs that's being held as an enticement, but it is taking some time here.
Dave, if I could, I my viewpoint perhaps is I don't think we should rush reclamation. You want to make sure the land is producing fully, and I know there's a lot of pressure, but I think it's better to take the time and make sure the land is fully productive before we release it. We don't want to get in the mode of getting things out too early either.
But it's just interesting that sure. Gascoyne Mine is actually, they ceased in 1995, and it just points out that to do it right, it takes time to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, when you have something and you're trying to prove production over the course of a 10-year period, and then it turns out some parcel of it didn't make it, you know, it's pretty old. Then you're starting again if you have to tear things up and make some changes. So yeah, it can be a very timely procedure, but it certainly is I think worthwhile when you go and look at the quality reclamation that we have in a lot of areas compared to what happened back 50 or 75 years ago.
Is that it? All right. Thanks, Dave. Sorry for cutting you off. I got so eager for the donuts over there. All right. So that concludes the regular portion of our commission meeting. We will return shortly for admin. Jeez, Esther, now I forgot something else. All right, you're right. I forgot about announcements.
Tough crowd, isn't it?
Oh, I've got my order written right here. I just didn't follow it. Okay, just a few announcements. We talked about NARUC already. We're heading out next week. After that, the month of March is a very busy month. We have 6 formal hearings in March that we will be attending, most of them not in Bismarck, most of them out on locations throughout the state, including a hearing for for Basin on a new transmission line, their North Kildare Loop, a couple pipeline hearings, a wind farm hearing, and a new Basin generation facility hearing. So March is going to be a very busy month with that and budget matters here during the legislative session. Okay. Did I forget anything else? Okay. This regular commission meeting is adjourned, and we'll return at 5:02 for the, let's just say 11. Should we say 11?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We have a lot of paper to sign.